We've got some weather coming in, so we're going to get right going. Got a big storm coming in. Supposed to get thunder boomers tomorrow, and supposed to get pretty nasty. So let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Colossians. Praise the Lord. I was able to give one of our scripture bumper stickers to Brother Bob Holmes Sunday. We've got 10 of them out now. Praise the Lord. Pray for doors to open for ministry for Brother Bob. I've been sending out letters to my LinkedIn co-preachers, telling them what a great man of God he is and what a blessing he will be. So pray for the Lord to open more doors for him there and to reach more of this generation. What a heart the man has for this next generation, for reaching them with the gospel. Amen. And he's doing an effective job, I'd say, with 40,000 saved in the past 18 years. 40,000. Wow. So what a blessing. And we'll be having him back. Praise the Lord. I can't wait to have him back. Great, great guy. Wonderful, humble man. Colossians chapter 3 tonight, folks. Remain seated. Some of us are in rough condition. Remain seated. Colossians chapter 3. And as we continue tonight, we're going to close out the third chapter. And we'll begin reading tonight in verse 18. We're going to be looking tonight at familial relations / human ties. Familial relations / human ties. And I love how the Bible instructs us in these areas. Amen? Once we become a true believer, the Bible is chock full of divine instruction for you and I on how to live now that we belong to Jesus. I'm so glad of that. The world does not have that. And that's why they're so messed up tonight. But look with me in verse 18, we read, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." All the men said, "Amen." Hang on, guys, we're getting to you. "As it is fit in the Lord, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." Father in heaven, how we thank you for these incredible verses tonight. And how we thank you, Lord, that there is no filler words in your Bible. I thank you, Lord, that every verse is there for a reason. And I thank you, Lord, that it's all for us. I thank you, Lord, the entire Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 and everything in between is for the Christian today. In one of three ways, either doctrinally, spiritually, or historically. In many cases, prophetically as well, Father. We thank you. The whole Bible is for us. We just have to rightly divide the word of truth. So, Lord, teach us tonight concerning familial relations / human ties, because we all have them. They're part of life. But I thank you, Lord, that we don't go through life alone. We don't go through life unknowing and ignorant as the world doth. But we have the living God, his Holy Spirit and word to guide us and direct our steps. Bless us now as we study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Beloved, in these verses tonight, the Holy Spirit gives us divine instruction regarding the sanctification of earthly, natural, and human relationships of the new man. And this is what separates biblical Christianity from the world tonight and its evil ways, that we have a book from heaven which clearly teaches us how to live in godliness and peace after salvation. Let me give you a few things from our text. First, notice the Christian wife. The Christian wife in verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." Now, note here, beloved, that is speaking of a believing wife. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is not talking about a lost woman. He's talking about a believing wife, a born-again Christian, okay? and also a believing born-again husband. We'll see as we progress. Now, the reason for this is clear. God does not instruct the lost. The only instruction he has for the lost is to repent and believe the gospel. Until they do that, he will not instruct them on how to live. Okay? So this is to believers here. Now take it for granted that the wife spoken of is a Christian and the husband is a Christian. All right. Now, even though the wife is charged first, men, we must realize that it's assumed by the apostle here that the believing husband is in a right standing with the Lord, because this injunction to the wife will require a great amount of grace for her to carry it out if her believing husband is carnal, worldly, and unreasonable. Men, this is why it is so important for us to be walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh, as this would put a huge burden upon our wife to fulfill this charge and for her to be conformed to the will of God. It depends on her submission to her husband, part of her fulfilling the will of God. And this is why we, as Christian husbands, need to be walking in the Spirit. All right, 1 Corinthians, it's all based on love, as we're going to see tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, hold your place in Colossians. Our home base will keep coming back. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look with me at verse 3. Very interesting instructions. Let the husband, that's the Christian husband, not the lost, render unto the wife due benevolence. That's love. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. There must be a mutual love and compassion and caring for one another. It's always mutual. Now, look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 is a much more elaborate passage concerning the husband and the wife. And Paul says by the Holy Spirit here in Ephesians 5, verse 21, speaking to the wife and the husband, verse 21, submitting yourselves, that's husband and wife, one to another in the fear of God. Now, a lot of Christian men don't like this verse because it includes them. Amen? We are also to submit to the wife in many areas, okay? Like back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I didn't read it to you, but it says the husband's body is not his own, but the wife's. That means she owns you, your body, your physical body, okay? You're not to do with it as you please. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, not to someone else's, as unto the Lord. You're supposed to submit to your husband as you submit to the Lord. For why? Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, don't get mad at me, folks. This is God ordered it this way, okay? The problem with the world tonight is they're out of order. They don't know God's will. They don't receive his instruction. And as a result, you have more divorce than you do people continue being married. In other words, most people get divorced. That's what I'm saying. Look at this, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. He's the spiritual head, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, why? Therefore what? Because the husband is the head of the wife. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, that's talking about godly submission of the wife to her godly husband, not the wife beater, not the drunkard. Not the abuser, okay? It's taking, listen to me, folks. Paul is taking for granted here that the husband she's submitting to is a godly Christian man, all right? I'm going to talk about that when we get to the husband. But right now, it's talking about the wife submitting to him. Okay, now, secondly, back in Colossians chapter 3, there's the Christian wife and her responsibility. Now, secondly, I'm going to show you why Paul addresses the husband secondly. And the reason is simple, because if the husband's doing what he's supposed to be doing, the wife will naturally, note the word naturally, fall into her place as a Christian wife. The Christian husband is second tonight. Look at verse 19, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, that's Christian husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, notice here, church, The first command to the husband is to what? Be not bitter against him. No, that's not the first command. Right, Val. To love. Look at it. Verse 19. Husbands, what's the next word? Love your wives. Why does Paul use that word first? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit told him to. This is the word of God, not of Paul. Remember that. This is God's divine instruction. And he says, number one, husband, your number one duty to your wife is not to take her to the restaurant, not to take her bowling. Your number one duty is to love her. To love her. Listen to me. Everything in the Christian marriage hinges on this one command to the husband. If he loves her as the Lord loves the church, guess what? You're going to have a beautiful marriage. You're going to have peace and joy, you know, and unity. I mean, you'll be on the same page. But listen, it's up to the Christian husband. Listen to me, guys. She will follow your lead. Mark it down. God created her to follow your lead. That's why your lead is so important. Amen. The first charge to the husband is to love his wife, not beat her, not abuse her, not, be derogatory and critical, but to love her. That is to show his love for his wife indeed, not just in words. Okay? He's talking about demonstrated love. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Hold your place again. We're coming back. 1 Peter chapter 3 has a lot to say with the Christian wife and husband. But look at this verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Likewise, he just addressed the wives. Now he's going to address the husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now time out. Before we continue reading, what knowledge is Peter referring to here? Somebody? Biblical knowledge. Thank you, Ellie. He is referring to the knowledge of the Word of God, not the knowledge of Dr. Phil, not the knowledge of Oprah. The knowledge of the Word of God is the knowledge we are to live with her according to. Amen? Look at it. Verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God won't answer your prayers, husband, if you're not obeying this command. All right. Very important that the Christian husband. Now watch how God mentions her nagging. Go back to Colossians 3. God is going to mention a Christian wife nagging her husband. Did you know that? Did you know that God said she will? Look, let me show you this. Colossians chapter 3. Watch this. Let me give you, time out, church, before we read this. I want to give you a hint. Guys and gals, all wives nag at times. It's part of her nature. Don't look at me funny. It's part of her makeup. Okay? But when she nags, it's for a reason. She's not making up the situation, okay? Now look at this. Watch how God mentions her nagging. Look at verse 19, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. And what? Be not. Whoa. Everything was fine and hunky-dory. Until now, all of a sudden, Paul says by the Holy Ghost, be not bitter against her. Why would he be bitter against her? I'll give you a hint. She's nagging him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My hand's up. Why? Sometimes our wives nag us, don't they? It's part of marriage, guys. Now listen, he says, be not bitter against her. Why? Because the nagging is taken for granted that once in a while she'll get in that mood, you know? And he says, husband, don't get bitter against her for that. It's part of her nature. Instead, what do we need to do? First part of the verse, love her through it. As we love her through it, guess what? The nagging dissipates. Why? We're making her happy by the love. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. Be not bitter over her complaining. Be not bitter over her bickering. Be not bitter over her nagging. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to show you what the Holy Spirit tells us how we overcome her nagging. In Ephesians chapter 5. Pastor, you're getting mighty personal tonight. Amen. That's what the Bible does. It gets downright at home. Amen. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a sacrificial love. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You're one with her, guys. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. How many times does the Holy Spirit use the word love your wife in this one passage? I mean, you can't miss it.
37.
Good guess. Nevertheless, let every one of you, not just the pastor, and not just the evangelist, not just the missionary, that every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. We have no problem with that part. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Now, thirdly, that's the Christian husband. It's a sacrificial love, guys. And she will naturally be putty in your hands when you love her this way. Trust me. Thirdly, in Colossians chapter 3, he addresses the Christian child. The Christian child. Look at verse 20. Children. This is Christian children. Obey your parents in some things. No. Wrong version. In all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It is well-pleasing to the Lord when our kids do right. And they obey mom and dad. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. And this commandment comes with a promise. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Listen to me, children who will not obey their parents when they're young will not obey God when they're old. Hear what I said? This is why it's so critical that we bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because we're teaching them submission to the Lord when they're little, so that when they get big, they will still submit to him. And part of their training in submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ is submitting to their parents at home. Okay? You know what we've got today? We've got a generation out of control. They don't submit to anyone. Esther?
Do you guys remember when I was in college and I got my return check and I sent you guys $300 just because you're my parents and I love you?
I do.
I did that because I love you guys and I'm your child and you guys took care of me my whole life.
Amen. I even remember the beautiful note that you wrote to me and Mom, the letter, and said, this money is for you guys just because you were so good to me growing up. And it just melted our hearts. And that's a beautiful picture of what we're talking about. Christian children submitting to their parents, obeying their parents. He uses the word in verse 20, obey. Obey. Oh, boy, you can't say that anymore in school. You know, you can't, they don't want the Pledge of Allegiance with under God. And, oh, man. But this is important in Christian upbringing. Extremely important. Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place. Hold your place again in Colossians. Ephesians 6, look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He says, simply because it's the right thing to do. And notice he says, in the Lord, in that you're doing it in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, back to Colossians chapter 3, fourthly tonight. Observe the prohibition to fathers. This is important. There's a prohibition to you dads, including me, because I is one. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What? How could I do that? Oh, very simply. Very simply. Listen carefully, Dad. You can either discourage your child or you can encourage them with how you talk to them. Okay? It all has to do with how we communicate with them. It's easy to discourage a child. And look at the word he uses in verse 21. Lest they be discouraged. Oh boy. You know what, folks? Brother Bob Holmes was here Sunday. And that figure he gave us floored me. I don't know if you caught it. He said 300,000 young people attempt suicide every year in America. 300,000. And many of them succeed. That is staggering. You know what's wrong with those kids? They're discouraged. Their mom or dad, their absentee dad, mistreated them, discouraged them, got them down, and they couldn't get over it. They couldn't handle it. And the devil just whispers in the air, oh, just slice your wrist. Just end it, and all your pain will be over. What a liar. What a liar he is. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6 again. Hold your place in Colossians. Look at verse number 4. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, notice the word wrath in verse number 4. You see that? Whose wrath is that? Whose wrath is that? That's the child. Look at it closely, church. It's the child. It's the child. You know what we've got today? It happened yesterday in Oregon. Another kid shot another kid to death at school. You know why? They're full of wrath. Somebody's mistreating them and pushing them to a point, a brink of no return. And the wrath is coming out. That's why kids are killing kids in our schools today in America. They've been, look at that. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Listen, you mistreat that child and mistreat that child and mistreat that child. One day it's going to explode. And you don't want to be around when it does. This is serious business. Oh, how we need these instructions. Don't provoke that kid. Encourage and love that kid. And yes, they'll make mistakes. But we need to be godly parents, the way the Bible says. Fifthly, tonight, he addresses Christian employees. Christian employees. Look at verse 22. Colossians 3:22. What's that first word? Servants. Now, I'm not going to take time, because it would take too much time, folks. But in biblical days, servants, that was an occupation. They weren't slaves. You think of modern day slavery, where, you know, the Africans, they brought the Africans to America and made them slaves, and they tortured them and all that horrible. Nothing, that's nothing to do with that. This is employment, okay? I don't have time to show you that from the Bible, but trust me. Servants, that's employees, obey in all things your masters, that's your employer, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. That means not just when they're watching you, they got their eye on you. That's eye service. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's how a Christian, listen, let me make a statement. A Christian employee, I don't care where you work, a Christian employee should have the best report from their immediate boss of any of the employees. Why? Because that employee is supposed to be working according as he's instructed from his God in the Word of God. See? So we should have a good reputation at work. That guy's honest. That guy's he goes to church all the time. He has a Bible he reads on his lunch break. And I can trust that guy. Or that gal. Why? Because we're, look at it says, servants, he's taken for granted the employee is a Christian, okay? Obey in all things your master, that's your boss, according to the flesh. He's not your boss, according to the spirit, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with eye service, not just when he's watching you, as men pleasers. We're not being a man pleaser. We're wanting to please someone else by doing a good job for our boss. In singleness of heart. See that? Not a double heart, a divided heart, but singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, notice here, Kyle's not here tonight, but Kyle drives the bus for the kids. He takes the school kids to school on the bus. Kyle is to say, I'm driving this bus for Jesus. Amen? Mike's to say, I'm running this plant, this electric plant for Jesus. You know, whatever it is you do for your employment, I work at GE, you know, I work overnight, and I'm a security guard. I'm opening and shutting this gate for the employees for Jesus. You know, what we're doing, we're supposed to be doing, look at it, verse 21, verse 22, as to the Lord. He says, in singleness of heart, fearing God. In other words, we're to treat that boss as we want the Lord to be treated, with respect and honesty. Sixthly, observe how the Christian is to do all things. Look at verse 23. How is the Christian to... Oh, yeah, Aval.
It comes to mind for me on verse 22, fearing God.
Mm.
That, you know, it simply being a good testimony, being good witness.
Yes.
For the Lord and fearing the Lord, our God, in that sense, needing to be a good employee.
Right. You're absolutely hitting the nail on the head. Because the implication of the fearing God at the end of the verse is that the co-employees will know that you fear God. Good point. Good point, sister. I love it. Verse 23. How is the Christian supposed to do it, all things? Verse 23 tells us, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Hot, that's from the heart. Amen. As to the Lord and not unto men. Glory to God for that. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 again. Such parallel passages. Only the Holy Spirit could have done this. Look with me in verse number 8. I'm sorry, verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Okay? So, we need to overlook their faults too, because some of them are real mean. But we need to do it as to the Lord and not unto men. Back up to verse 7 for a minute. Verse 6. Look at that in verse 6. Again, he mentions that for the employees, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, like an employee of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I like that, from the heart. All right. Now, seventhly, tonight, back in Colossians 3, notice the Christian's motive. The Christian's motive for what he or she does. Look at verse number 24. Colossians 3:24, knowing, something we need to know, knowing that of the Lord, that's Jesus, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, the motive for what we do in the way we do it is because we know that we're pleasing our Lord and one day we'll be rewarded for that, okay? The bottom line motive, the bedrock foundation, is because we love him. We may not love that lost, mean boss, but we love the Lord whom we're doing it as to. Ephesians chapter 6 again. Of course, Ephesians 6, look at verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. It says, according to verse 8, any good thing that you do, child of God, you're going to be rewarded for. Anything, Lord? Yep, that's what he says. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man or woman doeth, the same shall he receive. The reward for that good thing you'll receive one day, either in this life or the next. See? Anything good. Nothing goes unrewarded. I like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, dearly beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, you'll be rewarded. He guarantees it. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Just go to the last page of your Bible. You'll be there. The last page of your Bible. You think it's important? The last page of what God says to mankind? I do. Look in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12. Jesus Christ speaking. And behold, I come quickly. And my what? Reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord says, I'm coming. And when I do, I'm going to reward every man, whether it be with good or evil, whether it be with blessings or judgment. See that? Everyone's getting rewarded. The lost too? Yep. The lost are going to get the reward of eternal wrath. That's a frightening thought. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Look with me at, oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong, wrong reference here. Colossians chapter 2. Nope, that's the wrong reference. Okay. Go with me to 2 John. It's the second epistle of John. I don't know where I got that. But 2 epistle of John. And go to the chapter of your choice. It's only one chapter. Second John, and look with me at verse number 8. John writes, by the Holy Spirit to the church, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a what?
Full reward.
Now, the indication here, church, is that a child of God can lose rewards that they would have received. Okay? How? Look what it says. By not looking to ourselves. That's examining ourselves. That's making sure we're walking in the Spirit and doing the will of God. Lest we lose those things which we have wrought. Now that indicates, the second part of the verse indicates, that we already had gained some rewards and we can lose those by disobedience. You see that? Not going to lose, no, don't get me wrong. You're not going to lose your salvation. You can't. You're saved forever. You're eternally secure in Jesus Christ, but you can lose rewards, is what he's saying. All right. Now, finally tonight, back in Colossians 3, in closing, notice the promised chastisement. Oh, I wish you didn't say that. The promised chastisement. Look at verse 25. But, notice the but he that doeth wrong. Time out, church. Is that talking about a lost man or a saved man? The whole passage is dealing with saved people, right? So it's talking about a Christian. And it says this, but he or she that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect of persons. He's saying, mark it down. If you do wrong, child of God, I am not going to stand here tonight, Kenneth Copeland, and preach you a health, wealth, prosperity, name it and claim it gospel. Because it's not true. It's a fabrication of man. You don't command God. God commands you. Amen. You know? Look at this. He says, if you do wrong, you'll receive for that wrong. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you be punished in heaven? No. Heaven's a beautiful place of joy and peace forevermore. So when is the punishment going to come? Somebody. It's gut. That's right, Ellie. It has to come during this life on earth. That's called chastisement. We all have had our butts tanned, our hides tanned by the Lord. We know. He knows how to spank us real good when we do wrong, right? And that's a great encouragement not to do wrong. Now, he says, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. So, here's what it is. If you allow your flesh, which is not you, to control you and you do wrong by it, your flesh, which is not you, will be punished. That's chastisement. And that's simply what he's saying here in verse 25. It's a warning. It's what it is. It's a warning for us to live right. Glory to God. In closing, let me give you this, beloved. We are so blessed tonight because we have a Heavenly Father that loves us enough to instruct us in how we should live our lives after salvation is received. And truly, there is no greater way to live, church, than in the divine way that God's word teaches us to live. Listen, obeying these instructions and living in these ways is a direct part of the Spirit-filled, abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give us. Amen? Back to our text, Colossians 3. Let's read it and we'll pray. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. Lord, I'm so glad that you touch every member of the Christian family. I'm so glad, Lord, that this is just a scratch of the surface for all of the divine instruction that your word has for Christian husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, children, employees, employers, etc., etc. All familial, that's family relations and human ties, are covered in the Bible. Lord, it's amazing how your word instructs. It has all the answers for the child of God. All we need to do is read it and do it. We thank you for the grace, Lord, that your Holy Spirit ministers to our daily lives that we may fulfill these admonitions. Lord, that we may complete the will of God, that we may not only know it, but do it in a practical sense in our everyday life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you make our lives very uncomplicated by simply obeying your word. And we ask you to quicken these truths to our hearts tonight as we prepare for our prayer meeting. And Lord, thank you for the families of this church. Thank you for strengthening our human ties and relationships with one another. And thank you, Lord, that your word never fails. Thank you for your Holy Spirit empowering us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen.